Hey, man.
Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is Edward Murrow. How are you, man? We haven't talked in a year.
we have not. See, if we would record it tomorrow, you could have said we have.
I know. That sucks. My comedic timing was off. What's you're busy, man. You've got articles to write for, you have appearances, and no, but seriously, you are booked and busy, as the kids say nowadays. Tell us what you got going on.
Well, I am going to be doing the recap for tonight's Alamo Bowl.
Ah, I've been watching a little bit.
Between the Texas Longhorn and the Utah Utes. If you did not know, the Utes are a Native American tribe indigenous to what is now the state of Utah. There are a lot of reasons that I have an interest in that game, primarily because I did cover the Big 12 for SaturdayBliss.com this season. And a lot of others, but since this is a professional wrestling podcast and not a college football podcast, I won't get into them in.
Well, listen, because I'm not an avid watcher of college football, we couldn't even entertain that conversation. I would be like a bump on a log. You know, NBA, NFL is more so my speed.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to do some watch-alongs probably this college football offseason on my other podcast, the Triple Option Podcast.
Shameless plug with no shame.
on Anchor and Spotify and Google Podcasts.
That sounds sexy.
Because my son, you know, my wife knows nothing about college football.
I can believe that.
Yeah. And so we're going to do a watch-along. And she said, well, give me a website to prepare. I said, no, we're going to just do this thing bare bones and see what kind of car crash we can create. However, today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
that's right,
children of all ages, welcome to the Preachers and Pinfalls podcast.
Yeah.
On today's episode, Pastor Dez is going to hit us with some out of the ring news. We're going to talk about the last Raw of the new year. And we're going to pontificate a little bit of 2019 and maybe something to look out for in 2020.
Yeah, no, out of the ring news, man. I don't have anything. The only thing I had bleeds into the Raw from last night. Did you watch it? Did you watch Raw?
Yeah, about 75%. I did not get to the wedding.
Okay, that was the main part I needed you to see. You failed this mission, sir.
I did.
You failed miserably. No, but okay. So the out of the ring news I had was just a house show. There was an injury suspected to Randy Orton. So I was going to talk about that, of course, because I love Randy Orton. But so here is something, though. The rumor and in the window was that he really legit was about to sign with AEW. The rumor is that they were going to give him less money than what they are currently paying Chris Jericho. And he thought that he deserved, if not the same, maybe more. And they could not come to an amicable agreement on the finances. And so he did not go to AEW. I thought that was pretty interesting. I believe that.
I am curious to hear. And I actually do have some thoughts specifically on the as I watch the Raw you want me to watch.
You said it like it was such a chore.
I'm at the Andrade Ricochet match.
Okay.
Which I'll say this specifically. This has so far been the best episode of Raw I've seen in a while.
Hmm. Wait until the end, my good friend.
I don't want to go so far as say it's been the best episode I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. But then since I don't really remember an episode that stands out to me from this year, it may be. But No, I want to hear your thoughts about AEW not wanting to pay Orton as much as Chris Jericho and your thoughts on that.
My first thought is, I think that's ridiculous. And if this is true, you know, this is a rumor mill, right? Randy hasn't come out and said this is factual, nor has there been a comment from Chris Jericho. I do think this is true. And if you're asking me, I know that Randy and Cody both have a high level of respect for one another. Randy has spoken very highly about Cody since he started AEW, and the same vice versa. Randy is a draw. You know, to me, you pay him more than you pay Chris Jericho. And because Randy bleeds the kind of artistic approach that AEW is. He just looks like an AEW guy. I don't know what that means as I say it, but WWE is so clean now and polished. I think that a character like Randy, with this current iteration of him, or even, you know, former versions of Randy, he fits better in the AEW locker room to me than Chris Jericho. I'm not, you know, shitting on Chris. We love Chris. Everyone listening knows the fan affection we have for Chris Jericho. But you put Randy Orton in that kind of environment with a Jon Moxley, with a Hangman Page, with a Cody, with a Dustin, with anybody else in that locker room. I think that it makes his character stand out more. I think it makes the other characters, the other roster stand out more. And I think the pop would have been larger for Randy than it would have been for Chris. Than it was for Chris.
Oh, if Randy Orton would have went to AEW, the roof would have exploded on a building.
It would have. There's so much story.
Yeah.
I'm getting aroused just thinking about that.
but I'll say this. Think about how much larger Randy would be than everyone on the roster.
But again, dude, you need that. You know what I'm saying?
You do. Like I feel like the only guy he could work and it would look like equitable would be Luchasaurus.
Okay, that's a thought. But then remember, I think that this is a good way to bring in other bigger guys that may not have such a name. You know what I'm saying? And then Randy works them. You know, he builds them up. You know, you take somebody the size of a Jack Swagger. You know, I'm not saying Jack Swagger, somebody the size of him who's not really known on the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, bring him, work with Randy, and there you go. You've got another top star that AEW Randy just created because of Randy's size.
There are two big guys that since we're going down this rabbit hole, there are two big guys. I'm very surprised they did not sign from the outset, and even more surprised they had not signed so far. They were a tag team in New Japan. They were the killer elite squad. And they were IWGP heavyweight tag team champions. One is Lance Archer, who I never liked until he went to Japan. Now I think he's amazing. And the other is the son of the British Bulldog. They didn't sign D.H. Smith. And I don't know where he got that hype from. So I've actually seen Bulldog in person. I want to say it might have been his last run in WWE. The late great Davey Boy Smith was not a tall man.
No,
if he were 6 feet tall, I'd be shocked. He was just built like a wall. His son is definitely a big fella.
So question.
So
do you think that we both agree Randy would have been a great top pick in AEW?
Oh yeah.
Does he get paid? With the current state, right, him and WWE, contract ends, AEW's courting him, as my uncle would say, you're courting somebody, you're dating them. Mm-hmm. AEW's dating the idea of Randy. Do you pay Randy more than what Chris Jericho gets paid?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not a matter of worth.
Yeah.
It is. Okay, well, in my opinion, I would argue that Randy Orton all times a bit bigger draw.
Yeah.
Than Chris Jericho. But then also you overpay to get what you want. Now, here is and here's the thing. And this is why you overpay, because you're not getting a WWE also ran. Like, you're not getting Rhino.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to the beast. No. You know, that's no disrespect to the man beast. But you're getting the guy. Randy Orton is still very much in the prime of his career.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know for a fact, just based on a lot of stuff I read, probably one of the reasons Randy Orton was interested in AEW is because he wants to work less.
Yeah. He wants to work less. And, you know, I gave you that report a couple weeks ago that he pitched to Vince that the Revival and him should stick as a stable. And Vince was like, no. And I think that Randy wants more creative control. At the prime of his career, he's not at the end, but like reaching that tunnel, he's like, oh, I really want to have some fun. And I think he can't do that at WWE. Question. Well, this isn't really a question. It's just a quick statement I want to throw out real quick.
I'm sorry. Andrade just killed Ricochet, but continue.
Is it on the cemented, the exposed concrete outside?
No. This was the back end. He hit him with the Judas effect.
To be honest, man, and I know people listening, you know, might have thoughts on this, so please, you know, give us your comments and vehemently disagree. When Chris Jericho announced that he was going to AEW as like the top pick, and although I was happy, I was like, so, you know, it's not
really
like,
were you?
It's not like, oh my God, this is John Cena, or you know, Chris is Chris. We cannot. Chris is going to go in the fake WWE Hall of Fame. He's a first round ballot. Chris is one of the greatest performers, wrestlers, entertainers, guys on the mic. Hell, he's one of the greatest managers. He managed for all of 2 seconds. He's just great, you know? But that's who you got. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not bad. But it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, it's not a dud, but it's kind of like a, oh. Because Chris, at this point in WWE, came around when he wanted to. It's not like Chris would do something. He would do a little bit. He would have fun, do some stuff with Kevin Owens, do stuff with The Miz. He would do stuff, and he would leave. He would be gone for like a year, 2 years, and come back and do something, a great run, and he would leave again. So it's not, for those who know Chris, like you and me who've been watching wrestling for some time, we were like, oh, okay, cool. You got a semi-legend / current active guy. Mm-hmm. But you compare a Chris Jericho to, like you say, a Randy, that would make, I would have popped more. Snaps. You got Randy, or I'm trying to think of somebody else who's more of a name, more of a draw.
John Cena, you mentioned
a John Cena. Whoa. You know,
which would have never happened, but yeah.
You got to look at it like when WCW, when Hulk Hogan went over. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, wow. That's big. Chris Jericho going to AEW was almost like Lex Luger going to WCW. It was like,
Wow.
Because using Lex Luger diminishes the credibility of Chris Jericho. So I don't, maybe Bret Hart. That's like, okay, Bret Hart's a better example. I'm like,
I feel like you gave two bad examples for two completely different reasons.
I'm trying to find a way, because I don't want people to think, like, I don't respect and love and adore Chris Jericho.
What would be a good equivalent?
Macho Man, maybe, to WCW? Yeah. You're not at the height anymore, but you aren't at, like,
macho.
You're not at a decline. You're not, like, you don't suck, but you're not, like, the top guy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Maybe Mach.
Okay, so, you know, when Mach went to WCW... Oh, okay. that's all right. It's cool, I guess. I wasn't that impressed. I wasn't that impressed when Chris Jericho announced he was going to AEW, right? That was just me.
Wow.
Has he done great things?
I'm fascinated by that.
But you know what? I will say this. This is a great segue into, like, the top moments of 2019. Discussing that.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, because I'd like to give a take.
No, this is good. Yeah, I want you to stay on it. It goes with the conversation.
I am completely and utterly fascinated by you. Like, just like, wow. So my analogy was always like, there was a time I was hugely into baseball, and you know, when I was big into baseball, I was a diehard White Sox fan, and I remember when the White Sox got Ken Griffey Jr., and Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. is my all-time favorite baseball player.
As you have expressed that before.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, they got Ken Griffey Jr., and I was like, hold on, wait, he's old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did not think it was a bad idea. I was curious to see how he would be used. And the way they're using Chris Jericho is—I don't want to go so far as to say it's pure genius.
It is. I will say that.
But I will say it is the absolute best way. Use.
Yep. Yep.
Of Chris Jericho.
Yep. Most definitely.
He's on television. Here's an ADHD moment for you real quick. I'm noticing Andrade does not yet have his nameplate on his United States Championship title belt.
Well, he got it at a house show, so maybe they're
not trying to that do is that. True.
they weren't prepared.
Man. And just also, by the way, if you didn't know, Alexander Black may have all the game.
It's Zelina Vega.
Yeah, because
stay on task, my friend. Stay on task.
Okay, I'm back on task. But he's on television, but he doesn't work TVs. And it is the oldest of old school motifs with a champion. And that is you pay to see the champion defend his championship. Now, at the same time, and I've expressed this too, check this out, I would not have put the title on Chris Jericho. But I think kind of on the other side, AEW is still lacking in the stories department.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could have started your television with a great storyline if you would not have put the title on Chris Jericho.
Agreed.
That's a different rabbit hole.
Agreed.
So and he's found a way to reinvent himself. He is still really good in the ring. But it wasn't like they like signed him. It to me, it was a little different because Chris was really very much on the ground floor of kind of, I know he wasn't a part of the like the Elite was, not like Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega, which I don't even want to start talking about how horribly they're using Kenny Omega, but, He was kind of like it was almost as if it was inevitable that he was going to be a part of AEW. You know, of course, you know, he's known Cody, loves Cody, met Kenny Omega during his runs in Japan, all that stuff. So I was just kind of, my thing was, okay, let's see how they use him. And I think they've done a great job.
I would echo those sentiments. You know, don't get me wrong there, folks. Don't blast me. I think what they're doing with Chris is genius. It's the perfect way to use him. He's like Michael Jordan coming back to play for the Wizards. you're not going to expect 60 or 50.
I do have a comp. I do have a comp. It is very smarky and very wrestling nerdy.
Okay.
I would say that Chris Jericho going to AEW is the equivalent of when Raven signed with TNA.
I'll take that. Okay. And then here's
the comp. Raven was in TNA the very first time. I want to say he was signed that first year, just like Chris was signed the first year. Chris is the legit, he's the biggest star that AEW signed, or just out with, he was without a doubt the best. He's the biggest WWE star that they signed. Mm-hmm. Raven was the biggest former WWE star that TNA signed. And they used Raven to get their young talent that they liked a lot over, because Raven worked a lot with AJ Styles that first year. Chris Jericho is working with not only, I think he would have been better served by having a program with Sammy Guevara, mm-hmm. who I love and I hate simultaneously. Because I think he's a great worker, but then he looks like a Calvin Klein underwear model, and it just he has a very punchable face. Let's just say that about him.
I just want to punch you in the face.
Oh my gosh. Every
Why?
Time
I don't know. Ball, it's just there. It's a punchable face.
I don't like Calvin Klein underwear models. That's why.
Neither does your son. I hate him too.
But yeah, so I think that's probably the best comp, with the exception of Raven was never NWA champion at that time. I think Jeff Jarrett was. I don't remember if Raven won the championship, but that's pretty much how they used it. To me, that's like the best comp.
I take that. I can. Let's dig into Raw, the last Raw of 2019 a little bit. I mentioned it earlier. A bit of my outside the ring news was Randy. You know, so they bring Randy to the ring last night. You know, I only watch Raw to see Randy. That's just the way I've always been. I only watch SmackDown to see Randy. And the same thing. The only reason I tune in. So, you know, was this whole injury at this house show? Because I've noticed two things here, Dante. I noticed that with this Andrade storyline, like, they acknowledged it. Typically in the past, WWE acts like house shows don't happen. Or it's not canon with the storyline of the product, of Raw or SmackDown. But here we have two instances last night. They acknowledge Andrade wins the U.S. Championship. They play into that. Then they also acknowledge that Randy was hurt. Okay, so was this a big ruse? Was Randy really hurt? Was it a shoot? Was it like what? I'm confused. And it's either really smart on WWE's part. And then I want to say this. Like, okay, so maybe, wow, WWE has gotten better with their creative. But that thought quickly goes away when we get to the last segment of Raw, which is Lana and Lashley, which you have not seen yet.
I was going to say, I'm currently watching it.
But Randy, you know, he's not hurt. He played possum. RKO's AJ Styles. He says this might be a career-ending injury. You know, what do you think about what they did there? Did you like it?
I have some very specific thoughts about that.
Yeah, let's get into those specific thoughts.
First of all, I loved it.
Yeah.
Let me say I loved it because there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if I can bring some preacher element into Preachers and Pinfalls, the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. So, like, at this point in my wrestling life, I just really want to see, like, how well you can pull off old school games. So, at first, they straight sucked me in, right? I see the pictures before the break. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Randy's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy's not a guy that gets hurt either, which makes it even more believable.
Believable, yeah.
That's which is it may not seem huge, but that little nuance,
yep,
is genius because Randy doesn't get hurt. Nope. When you don't see Randy, well, young Randy, like young Randy would get suspended for stupid stuff, but like older, more mature, married, family guy Randy, he just takes time off. So I'm like, is he really hurt? Then he gets in the ring. And then my pro wrestling brain goes, you know what?
Yeah, I said the same thing.
I'm like, he is the Viper. Yeah. Let's see where this goes. And here's my criticism. He should not have spoken until after he gave AJ the RKO.
I agree.
That's my that's the that and it drug on a little too long.
Yeah, agree.
Like he should have like see I think about like when Stone Cold would give people a stunner, like mid sentence, bam, he should have hit him with an RKO. And then say, you know what, AJ, unlike you, I'm not patient.
I agree.
And then I would have had him pose at the top of the ramp, not on the turnbuckle.
So here's my critique. I love yours, and I agree. We high five. We tag team. We're the Street Profits right now. You're the bigger one. I'm the smaller one. You're tagging me in right now. Okay, so I loved it too. I'm a huge Randy Mark. To me, Randy can do no wrong. That's that. But if I'm breaking this thing down, he did drag on a little bit. Like, I enjoy Randy more when he's in action and less talking. Not that he's bad, but sometimes I don't need him to say as much as I need him to actually do something. So a lot of that script could have been cut down. I think it would have worked for me better if while AJ was speaking, you know, Randy does the RKO, but he's still hurt. Play into the injury still. Because now I want him to RKO you, but he gets up visibly like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Like he's hurt, his knee or whatever is still hurt. His quad or whatever is still hurt. Because that gives you a storyline to lean into going into Rumble, WrestleMania. Like you can really drag it out now, but this is almost reminiscent of, remember when CM Punk had a feud with Randy Orton and they faced each other at a WrestleMania and Randy was injured. According to the storyline, I think that he had like a brace on his knee or something, but he still won the match. But CM Punk dug in for the few weeks before WrestleMania, he dug into that injury. We know that Orton and AJ Styles are two top competitors in the company. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see more of the heel and AJ could have really beaten on that injury for the babyface Orton here, right? And could have really dug into that injury, and that would have given you more layers to the storyline going into Rumble or WrestleMania. You know, Randy still hits the RKO, still says I'm not that patient, but yet I wanted him to make that injury real. So that could be a part of the storyline. That would have been my only critique.
So here's my pushback.
Yeah, okay.
I want to see Randy and AJ just put on a clinic of a match. I don't think they need and here's the thing. Randy's what, 6'4", 6'5"?
Tall guy.
I don't know if you have him fighting from underneath against a guy who's 5'9".
Okay. I would see, but here okay. Go ahead.
And I guess the bigger question is, since there's no championship, my question is, so when do you pay it off? Do you wait to WrestleMania to pay it off? Which is kind of the same question I'm sort of left with after this segment. Like, when is the payoff going to come? I'm like, did they just kind of drop that it's coming at Mania? But I that part, I'm not sure.
But here's why I think my pushback would be this, my dear friend and comrade. The AJ is a heel, but he has a stable. Mm-hmm. I think if Orton's going to be the babyface, he kind of needs to play from underneath because AJ Styles has a behemoth of a guy, you know, who's staying next to his side. He has a smaller guy staying next to his side, but he's still, that's a 3-on-1. So an injury on top of you got to face three guys, like there's more of a story there to me. So go through Rumble. Play on that, and maybe by the time you get to Mania, you know, the injury has 100% healed, and then they say, hey, you can't have any interference. If anybody interferes AJ Styles, you automatically lose, or whatever, right? But that injury, in addition to, okay, this is a 3-on-1 deal here, like that, there's so much. You know, I can see them beating Randy with his own crutches. You know, I just, in my head, visibly, I see so much. I see him going for RKO, but not really able to hit it in the match because that knee's messed up, and then you think he's out, but then all of a sudden, AJ goes for that, for the elbow move off the rope, boom, RKO out of nowhere, but he's hurt, he still wins the match. You know, there's so much, right? The story.
I think if you go there, then this, what they did here in January, you do that like 2 or 3 weeks before you're going to pay it off.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do it now. I would wait. If the payoff is at Mania, then you do it like 3 weeks before WrestleMania. Because then you can play into the whole, well, is Randy Orton going to be able to make it to WrestleMania?
Yeah, true.
And if he is, what's his condition? What's his condition, Monsoon? But I'm sorry, I just went back to the 80s.
You have to say, what's his condition, Vic? You know, what's the new guy? Is it Vic? Is it
Vic Joseph, who I really like Vic Joseph.
Yeah, I do too. I like him too.
So, of course, I do watch NXT UK outside of this current continuum.
Which Shawn Michaels is leading right now. Did you know that?
He's leading what?
NXT UK. He's been... Triple H came out and said it officially that because of the... It's been happening for a while. HBK has been leading NXT UK for a while now. I want to say at least maybe half of the year. But with the recent popularity of NXT going to USA, Triple H was like, I really can't give as much attention to it. Shawn had already been there anyway, kind of moving some things around. And he just kind of really gave it over to him for Reigns. And so a lot of the stuff we've been seeing lately with Shayna Baszler and a lot of the NXT roster, a lot of that has been the sheer work and genius of HBK.
Well, listen, one thing that we know is he's got a brain for the business.
He definitely does.
So. Wow. So, yeah. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I got to know Vic Joseph, because he does commentary with Nigel McGuinness.
The perfect UK name.
Nigel
McGuinness.
Is that his shoot name?
No, this is
real. No, I don't think it is. And let me ask you a question.
Yeah, actually.
Completely random.
Do you
remember Elijah Pope, aka the Bishop D'Angelo De Niro?
I do, actually.
He's on NWA Power.
Okay. He was not utilized well at when he was with WWE. I don't know why. I wasn't as much of a digger, right, for information as I am now.
I remember two things about his run in WWE. Number one, he never got out of ECW. And number two, he was hurt a lot.
Okay.
And that kind of messed up his run in TNA too. He got hurt a lot.
Okay.
And honestly, to me, who is this guy? Who's the guy with the suit?
Who are you talking about? What part?
This guy with the suit just coming down to the wedding.
Okay, so
randomly.
Let's talk about this wedding, man. God damn it, I can't help it anymore. Forgive my language.
That's okay. No.
So we need to talk about it.
I'm watching it in real time. I feel like it's watch along.
I've already seen it, but we don't have that much time because we got to be done at 5. We got to be done in less than...
What did he say? He's what?
We got to be done in 27 minutes. So listen, let's talk about this, man.
Did he just say he's Lana's husband?
I want you to pause it. You have to pause it because you can't watch it as we describe it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, my mercy.
Oh, Lana got married so she could get a green card to the States?
No, you're going to miss. Okay, people, let me tell everybody what's happening. Dante and I normally watch the week's Raw like the week after just because it's not that interesting and we're too busy. But because it's the holiday, I was able to watch a little bit of it last night. And I immediately called Dante today. I said, this morning, I knew we were recording the podcast. I said, Dante, you have homework, watch Raw. But specifically, watch
the wedding.
And he did the exact opposite.
And I literally watched the whole episode but the wedding. So now I just watched Bobby. Hey, can I say this about Bobby Lashley?
What?
That's a strong dude.
Yeah, nothing he wears fits. I don't want to be that strong.
Because I think he just killed a dude who just came to the ring.
So listen, can I give you the news of to what happened and why I wanted you to watch it? Or do you want to wait? Okay, so Liv Morgan comes back and she proclaims that you can't marry Bobby because you said you loved me, so there's this lesbian storyline here that Lana secretly has a relationship with Liv Morgan. And then she comes to the ring and Lana like demolishes Liv Morgan, starts beating her. Then everybody pulls them apart.
Who is this? This J-Lo lookalike contest runner-up.
So everybody pulls them apart. At the end of it, Rusev comes out of that huge, obviously there's a person inside of the size cake in the ring. Rusev comes out.
Attacks Bobby. Got Bobby Lashley's first wife coming. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like a Rock, This Is Your Life kind of segment. And which was kind of, this portion of the wedding, man, was okay. Like, I love the fact that they showed Bobby Lashley's past relationships, Lana's, like all of the nonsense. Like, it was pretty funny. But then when you get to Liv Morgan.
Oh,
I can't talk about it.
She's definitely a wrestler. And she took that dump very well going down those steps.
Right? And so you Dante, if we're gonna talk about this, you have to pause it.
Okay, I don't want to pause it, but
You gotta focus, man.
I'm focused.
So we get to Liv Morgan, and I was vehemently upset because we have been waiting for Liv Morgan to come back for months now, and WWE has been putting out these great vignettes. And so, of course, like a lot of us thought that she was going to come back and team with Bray, and she was going to be the Sister Abigail character and be with the Fiend, but they bring her out in this capacity. Dante, I have many other thoughts, but I want to say I was very underwhelmed. And I know this is the first segment, so this may lead to something pretty cool. This may lead to something pretty great. But I was underwhelmed. I said, come on, really? And then when there are legitimate lesbian wrestlers in the company, like, what's my girl?
Sonya Deville
has on record gone to WWE, gone to Vince and said, listen, let me work with you guys to come up with some same-sex storylines. They have vehemently told her no, and then they pull this garbage. Like, this isn't the Attitude Era. Being a lesbian isn't taboo. Being gay isn't, oh, it's a surprise. That's how we're going to end 2019, pal. We're going to know.
Can I be even more specific? What? Being a lesbian isn't pornographic.
It's not.
No, don't laugh, because I'm serious when I say that. Because when I think of Attitude Era and I think of lesbians, I think of two things. I think of a storyline with Beulah, and I can't think of the Asian girl from ECW. And it was this whole, it was Tommy Dreamer, and Sandman got Beulah pregnant, but she wasn't really pregnant. Sandman wasn't Beulah's secret lover. It was Kitty. That was her name.
Even look at what Liv had on. Like, they're trying to show, like, lesbian is like, it's nasty, or it's porno, or it's a shock value. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And this, it's not that, you know, whatever your sexual preference is, it's widely accepted across so many spectrums of society. Yeah. So this isn't like surprise. And then,
of course.
And then why not use a real lesbian? Why not use Sonya Deville, who is legitimately in a same-sex relationship? I follow the girl on Instagram. Like, she legit.
You know who her girlfriend is, right?
No. Like, what's her story?
Her girl, the Seth Rollins' ex-girlfriend.
Really? Ooh, tantalizing. So much.
If you remember, like, she was in developmental. And she got fired for all the white supremacist stuff. She had some Nazi-ish AJ stuff on her social media, and she did not want to take it down. So they told her she had to go. Yes, that is Sonya Deville's.
That's interesting. That says a lot to me about the character of Seth Rollins. Well, I don't know why they broke up, but if it's for reasons,
because he became a star and they want that on his what is Lana, is this gonna be a thing?
So I was just really
why is she orange? Oh, she just slapped a dog out of Liv.
Oh my god, I can't do this. Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on this.
I agree 100%. Okay, so two things. Number one, if they're going to do a Sister Abigail character, which they should, because I feel like they're kind of, now I'm talking about Bray Wyatt, I didn't even talk about this trash, although I do like a good cat fight. Well, because my thing is, so Liv Morgan is in that group of girls that I felt they called up from NXT too early, and they had to, because I think there was a feeling that they needed more women on the main roster for more stories. And then they just kind of end up not giving a crap about the women's division, which is apparent because you got Asuka wrestling Becky Lynch, so they don't even give a crap about the women tag championship. But so Liv was one of those girls. Just FYI, like Liv Morgan, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Bobby Lashley's ass that big. Those are like the big three that I thought they called up way too early. And Carmella's done well.
She has.
But I think I still think she was too early of a call up. So I did think that being in the Riott Squad was an asset, because you can have Liv really use her personality, and you can kind of hide her wrestling in tag matches. But then Ruby Riott got hurt. Mm-hmm. And they're doing nothing. Oh, I can't even think of the third girl's name, because she married to one of the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, nobody. She's like Marty Jannetty. Nobody remembers you.
She's like, which one of these things don't belong? And not that she can't work. My thing is, there were several tattooed women that they could have went with. Like, Mia Yim would have fit better in the Riott Squad than
Sonya Deville would have fit better.
I agree. But anyway, so I saw some of the vignettes, and I completely do not like the way they're repackaging Liv Morgan. To me, it's not the character that they had an opportunity to really create.
Yep.
With
her. I almost feel like at the last minute, they made it this. I think that it was going to be, she was going to be Sister Abigail or something like that. Everything was speaking to that. Like, the way Bray was talking, Firefly Funhouse, like, everything was leaning towards that. And I think that once Vince thinks he knows what we think, he changes it. Uh-huh. And I think he changed it at the last minute. He was like, nope, we're going to do it this way.
And to your point, I thought at least they were hinting around to having Bray have a quote unquote family again.
Yeah.
And yes, Liv would have been perfect to be Sister Abigail, very simply because now she doesn't have to compete with Alexa as who's going to win the Harley Quinn lookalike contest. So, but no, I agree. And once again, you could have had another one of your women superstars involved in a credible, viable storyline, except for this trash. But you know what? Once again, and I said this before, everybody who wants to blame Vince for this marriage storyline never watched ECW in the 90s.
I agree. This is all a part of it.
If I had to give you my opinion, sir.
Let's do this. You be Paul, and I'm going to be Vince. Okay. Pitch to me the marriage storyline.
Listen, Vince. Oh, yeah. You have two guys not really doing anything. And we want to do segments that are entertaining and funny and not necessarily wrestling. So may I pitch to you the only couple people care about as being married, Rusev and Lana, split up, and Lana goes with the big black guy.
Well, I think it's genius. Paul, what do you say?
Well, sir.
Go for it, pal.
And let's bring in a lesbian angle with Lana.
Yeah, lesbians. That's hot, right? Everybody's lesbian. Ruthless aggression. Attitudes. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But I have to be honest. I hated it, but I loved it. Because one thing that I've said about Raw and about SmackDown. It's sports entertainment. And I think number one, to this day, I don't know why. Why do guys who are not working the show, if they come to the ring, why are you coming to the ring in your wrestling gear, dog? You ain't wrestling that night. I'm like, Drew McIntyre doesn't have like blue jeans and a t-shirt.
Maybe it's a rule they have to. If you're backstage, what? You have to wear your ring apparel.
But if you gotta wear your t-shirt, that's cool. But I'm like, you know, like I'm like Drew McIntyre don't have like jeans, a pair of Chucks, and a t-shirt.
Nah.
But he goes to Whole Foods because you can look at him physically and know he only shops at Whole Foods. So he goes to Whole Foods in his wrestling boots, trunks, and the chain duster.
All the time.
I'm looking for the cucumbers. Can you tell me where they are, fella?
So on that note, I know you love what's his name? Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Who was your breakout star for 2019?
Okay, so I put five, and I'm not going to go on the
rating. Oh my God.
I'll give you three though. one of which does not wrestle for WWE.
Okay, that's fine.
So first, I will be remiss to not say Cody Rhodes did not have one hell of a 2019. I mean, he and the Elite started an entire freaking wrestling company.
Agreed.
And it wasn't a startup like TNA. It wasn't a startup like Ring of Honor. They went and they conned a billionaire named Khan, ironically enough.
What is it? They conned a billionaire? Really?
They conned Khan to give them money.
I think about Star Trek. When you say that, I think about Star Trek.
Well, hey, let them lose money. It might be the Wrath of Khan. But so Cody is up there. I will also have to say, just because I've kind of seen here in this continuum, Rhea Ripley's definitely had a heck of a 2019.
Okay.
From the Mae Young Classic to her meteoric rise on NXT UK, through showing up on NXT. Personally, I thought they pulled the trigger on her too soon. As you know, I'm old school. Moments like that, I think you pay for. I think she beat Shayna either at the takeover before WrestleMania, or since it seems like they're putting NXT matches in the continuum at WrestleMania. But and I've said it. My wife was watching me watch NXT, and Rhea Ripley came out, and I told my wife, I said, look at her. She's like, she's kind of tall, which Rhea's not really tall. But I told her, I said, she's going to be the next megastar in wrestling if they don't screw her up. And I guess these are not in any certain order, but my other one who doesn't work for WWE is Jay White.
Okay.
Jay White is doing something in Japan that you don't see. And that is, Jay White is getting Baron Corbin heat in Japan. So New Japan, without going into a whole lot of detail, New Japan has become Americanized since they kind of retooled the product in like the mid-2000s, especially when Tanahashi got the championship. It used to be, guys came to the ring, worked about it. It was like Japanese fans, like you just watched the match and appreciated it. You weren't many cheers, weren't many boos. Now you watch Japan, they got signs, they're cheering, they're booing, and the heat that Jay White gets, I've never seen that happen in Japan. I mean, he might be the best heel in pro wrestling right now. He is a fantastic heel. I am about three quarters through his match with Kota Ibushi for the G1 and the G1 final. And I think he might have an opportunity. and you'll talk about a babyface territory. New Japan is a babyface territory. He may be the first heel to hold the New Japan Championship for a long time and just have babyfaces chase him, which I think would be amazing. So those are my three.
Okay. You know, mine are going to go Randy Orton. No, I'm kidding.
Dylon, Dylon, and Dylon.
Your five favorite rappers. Dylon, 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 Dylon.
He spit hot fire.
By the way, my wife and I watched like a clip of that show the other night on YouTube. They need to bring back Making the Band. I love Making the Band. I'm going to Philly in a couple of weeks, and my goal is to find Ness. And be like, yo, what you been doing? What you been up to? All right, so Cody Rhodes, definitely. Again, same reasons you stated. I want to say Becky Lynch. I think that she still hasn't come down from the high. I think she's raised the standard for females in wrestling, period. Becky Two Belts, you know, she and the man. And everything she did at Survivor Series last year carried over into this year. And I still think she's at the top of the card as just being amazing. I say NXT as a whole, not just one person from NXT.
I agree.
We've seen NXT grow, you know, to becoming a staple, but every person on that roster has transformed for the better. And I'm excited to see. I think another 2 years, they're going to take over the main roster, because a lot of the people we're looking at now are going to be the older girls and guys, right? I think that Velveteen Dream, Tommaso, Gargano, what's my guys? Forgot, having a brain freeze.
The Undisputed Era.
Yeah, Undisputed Era. I think those are going to be the mainstays on WWE, period, 2 or 3 years. I'm excited to see their continued growth and development, man. So big ups to NXT, Triple H, and what he's done. You know, Paul doesn't get a lot of credit right now, but a lot of what NXT is, man, is because of what he's doing down there. Him and Sean and that whole team, man. So if we're talking about overall, like AEW, great job. Cody, you know, we credit that to you. If we talk about NXT overall, we have to look at Paul. Triple H and what he's doing, man. And I want to say he is a great version of what reinventing yourself means in this industry. I can't wrestle anymore, but I'm still connected. Let me
come out. Still
he you know, that remains to be well, he's got another few matches in him.
Hey, I'm telling you this, bro. If this was the 80s and the territory, he'd be world champion in somebody's territory right now.
He definitely did, but this is 2019. I know. He's smartened up. He said, I
got to be honest. I want Triple H to take the Undertaker spot at WrestleMania.
I can see that.
I want him now to, like, who gets the Triple H match at Mania?
I can see that.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to that. That's it, man. We're at 53
okay.
minutes.
Happy, so,
there's more.
I want to say one thing about NXT.
Oh, go ahead. Go for it.
How do you feel about them leaving Full Sail in 2008?
Say, how do I feel about NXT leaving Full Sail?
Yeah, because allegedly they're going to start traveling.
Yeah. I don't know. It remains to be seen. I have, based on the schedule, you know, I think one of the reasons we get so many quality and great performing matches out of NXT is because they're not as tired as the main roster of travel.
I don't know if they're going to have that sort of schedule, but they're going to be, their show is not going to be a Full Sail anymore from what I've read. I just think WWE needs at least one studio wrestling show. And although Full Sail was not a studio, television studio, it is the closest thing they have to a studio show. I mean, it's obvious that Triple H grew up watching, you know,
territory
NWA. Yeah. I think they should put 205 Live at Full Sail if they move NXT. So give me, as we close, give me one guy or girl you think is gonna break out, and kind of shoot to the
Andrade.
Are you still my answer?
Andrade, I love him. I love Andrade. He's my favorite wrestler right now in the current roster. I'm glad they finally put a belt on him. I felt like he had a belt, but maybe I was mistaken. But I'm glad they finally did. And, you know, behind him, I'm looking at Bray Wyatt. They're doing genius stuff with Bray. Like, you can't they're fixing all of their mistakes with this current version of Bray Wyatt. So
Bray Wyatt is the only reason to watch SmackDown right now. Because Bayley is
she sucks.
No, this is what Bayley is. I'm gonna tell you exactly what Bayley is right now. Bayley is the nerdy, pissed off emo girl who got befriended by the captain of the cheerleading team, and now she thinks she's cool. That's what Bayley is right now.
Who's your that you suspect to break out?
God, well, you stole my answer with Andrade. Because I'm like because I'm saying he's never gonna say Andrade.
You can say him too.
Well, I don't want to say him too. That takes away the challenge. Although I agree 100%. I think Andrade has everything. And is perfect because he has a heater.
Yep.
With Selena Vega. I mean,
They were going to break them up. And that's what they needed to.
That would have been a terrible mistake.
But I feel like
he needs a heater.
They were going to break them up, and he was going to be with somebody else. I thought, because when they first announced it, I thought they were going to put him with Charlotte. And I thought they were going to have this whole Charlotte Andrade, like they do with like they have with Seth and Becky. I thought they were going to make it real life. But I guess they called a pivot and put him and Selena back together again. Because it was official. It was like a wrap. Like, they were ending that.
There are two reasons why they do not need to put him with Charlotte. Because when Charlotte comes out in street clothes, she likes to wear heels. And she doesn't need to be taller than he is on television.
She is extremely tall.
And number two, he needs a heater. He doesn't need to be next to another performer.
I agree.
So other than I got to go back to the guy who had a great 2019. I think Jay White is ready to be the next IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And I think they finally found someone. I think they're confident that he can take the mantle from Okada, which is huge, by the way. Because you don't talk about John Cena booking, watching Okada match. But I think they're confident that Jay White can carry that mantle and be that great heel champion, which is going to elevate the Bullet Club one more time. So I gotta go with Jay White. I'm on Jay White. Breeze with the switch with Blade, brother.
All right. Hey man, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Love you. Love you and the family.
Oh yeah.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the Twitter machine. Catching all the smoke about college football at Pastor DDP. You can also find me on Instagram at Pride the Good Kid. And I want to shout out Jesus to the people. He is the reason for the season.
Somewhat.
But
there's some thoughts I have on that.
I want to shout out all the people who have visited the Preachers and Pinfalls Facebook page. We've had several visitors and likes to the Preachers and Pinfalls Facebook page. Including one, so are you going to ever put up a new old school deep cut match of the week, which means I got to get to work. So please keep visiting the Preachers and Pinfalls Facebook page.
Yeah, and we're going to promise to try to do better in 2020 at managing that page, man. Perfect vision, man. And I want to echo my friend's sentiments here. Thank you guys for rocking with us for the past year. It's been great, man. And you all have been here for every episode, and we can't wait to give you more wrestling talk in 2020. All right? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Sign us out, man.
To all of the congregants of the Camel Clutch, shout out to the Hall of Famer, SD Jones. This is the benediction.